Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics. Joining me from Shenyang, China today is Mark Allenbaugh. Mark is a China trade consultant. Mark, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Good morning, Adam, and thank you for having me.
So let's dive in. We're going to talk about a topic that, frankly, I wasn't aware of was a risk, and I think most people weren't either, which is the risk of having North Korean workers in your supply chain, which I guess can run afoul of several laws, not to mention just visibility issues. What industries are most at risk of this?
Well, the industries most at risk could be, frankly, any industry. If you're using software in any particular capacity, whether it's purchasing software or any type of management software, what have you, there is a chance, and it's really unclear how big of a chance, but there is a not insignificant chance that your software could have been programmed, at least in part, by North Koreans. And that is because a lot of the software today, when companies look to develop a new app, a website, or some type of in-house product, very often they're going out to websites such as Fiverr or Freelancer and looking for developers that way. And it makes sense. You go online to look for a developer for your app or for your product. Well, those developers sometimes are North Koreans, and it is very difficult to tell whether they're North Koreans or not. And if they're not North Koreans, very often what happens is, and this is common in many aspects of supply chain management, is there's outsourcing. So you might retain a company, say in Germany, that then outsources some of the work on your app to a company in China, which then outsources to North Koreans. And that's difficult to track.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be. And is there also issues with hard goods as well?
Not so much hard goods. What comes out of North Korea now is very limited in its in terms of hard goods. And it's limited or primarily focused on the Chinese domestic market. Fish products, rice products, and coal, frankly. So you're not going to see North Korean goods in the United States in terms of hard goods. But what you will see and can see is North Korean work product in terms of software development.
Okay. So what are the signs that somebody should look for, the sort of the red flags that I've got a risk here that I really need to start getting on top of?
Well, first of all, you need to know your supplier. And that's rather obvious. The difficulty here is that the North Korean programmers are proficient in English. And this is something that I have firsthand knowledge of in my work here in Northeast China, doing consulting work for both domestic Chinese software developers as well as foreign entities that are looking to have Chinese developers develop their apps and their websites, et cetera. So that's something that really surprised me, is how proficient the North Koreans are in both their speaking English as well as their written English. This is rather technical, but the tell signs, if you do have North Koreans in your supply chain for software development, is how the software is being coded. North Korea, as we all know, is the hermit kingdom. So their exposure to the latest and greatest in terms of how to program or program in certain languages such as C++ or PHP is limited. So they have a particular way of coding that is, I guess, the biggest red flag out there. So if you're looking to really determine if you have a North Korean somewhere in your supply chain with respect to software development, so you want to look at the code. And there are companies in the United States that can do that for you. They can evaluate the code to tell you if the code, first of all, is up to snuff. Does it comply with certain coding standards? And more importantly, in this case, they could basically look for the fingerprints of North Korean coding. And this isn't as technical as it sounds. It's rather easy because the North Koreans, because they're so limited in their exposure to coding conventions, have a fingerprint on the way they structure their codes. This is something that we read about that the CIA looks for, the FBI, et cetera. And it's actually not that difficult if you know how to look in the code. So that would be the biggest way to first see a red flag and then to know if you might have a problem there. And the reason why this is a problem, by the way, for U.S. companies is now because of the U.N. Trade sanctions, which, of course, the United States has really pushed. Those sanctions preclude virtually any type of non-humanitarian trade between U.S. companies and North Korea. And
so what are some of the
breaching those? Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you started to go answer the question really by talking about breaching. What are some of the penalties that are there?
Well, there can be certainly significant financial penalties. There could also be potential criminal penalties if, of course, this is willful, although that's highly doubtful. Nobody, I think, is going to willfully engage in trade with North Korean programmers, primarily because they're not the latest and greatest. There are certainly, obviously, there are publicity issues. If there's North Korean code in your code and you're trying to sell that or market that in the United States. And also you could end up on a blacklist and not be able to provide any coding or app development for governments, whether they're the federal government or the state government or state governments.
Now, let me ask one other question, which is, there's been a lot of coverage too about the end of programs, which has allowed North Korea to send its workers abroad. If a company is, for example, doing manufacturing in China or elsewhere, is there much risk that some of the factory workers there may in fact be North Koreans and, my company may be in trouble for that?
When it comes to hard goods, no. And I should have mentioned this earlier. When I talk about North Korean programmers, I'm not talking about North Korean programmers located in North Korea. I'm actually talking about North Korean programmers that are located here in China. And estimates are that there's about 3,000 of them scattered throughout China, but primarily up where I'm at in the Shenyang and Yanji areas. So what North Korea has, if you will, exported into China are its intellectual component or an intellectual branch of its workforce, the coders. And these coders have been developed since grade school by the North Koreans. They're very, very specialized in their coding. The only other type of North Korean labor that you see outside of North Korea are restaurant workers. But you do not see, and I'm not aware of any North Korean laborers in any of the Chinese manufacturing entities. And primarily, the reason why you're not going to see them there is, first of all, they're exporting, like I said before, their intellectual labor. Except for the restaurant workers, those are there for primarily getting the hard cash. But also, North Koreans, by and large, don't speak Chinese, so it's very difficult for them to work at a factory where Chinese would be essential.
Great. Well, Mark, thanks for telling us all about this. I think it's a risk area most people weren't aware of, and certainly one that would be easy to accidentally stumble upon. So thank you for taking the time from halfway around the world to talk to us today. Thanks to all of you who listened in. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE, saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.